You're listening to 2024 in Review, a look back at some of the most compelling conversations and stories of the year from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers Podcast.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi, featuring body language and human behavior expert Mark Bowden.
Mark Bowden, body language and behavior expert, creator of Truth Plane, joining us to discuss something that we take so much interest in with what we talk about every single day with these cases. My God, Mark, there's a lot we can talk about here. Let's kind of start on an intro level on it. I got to ask you, when obviously you apply this to business, you apply this to life in so many places, just far beyond criminal justice and that. But when you watch cases today, when you see the behavior and the things that are going on that are not being spoken, you must be walking away from so many of these appearances by alleged criminals or criminals with so much more knowledge than just what the rest of us are seeing on the surface. Is that accurate?
Well, look, here's the thing, Tony, is I'm fascinated by it on your behalf.
Yeah.
Criminal, though actually some of my work started off within offenders and ex-offenders environment within the UK. You know, that true crime area has never been my fascination, but I am fascinated in it for other people. My skills and my business is within how do you use body language to influence and persuade, and how do you look at other people's body language to understand them better. Mm-hmm. And so I'm always fascinated on other people's behalf on looking at these cases and going, if we're to add some of the information, the intelligence that I can bring to these pictures, to these images, to these moving images, what more can you know as somebody who's investigating this way more deeply? So I am fascinated, not from a personal point of view, but from your point of view.
Yeah. How did that all begin for you? How did you have a moment where it's like, wow, I'm garnering information from people that others may not be picking up? Tell me your story, how you found yourself being so fascinated with this.
Yeah, well, I started off within how do you use moving pictures to influence and persuade people? Really that area of communication, propaganda, essentially. How do governments, how do politicians use their own moving image in order to change people's minds? And from that, a little bit later on, went into, well, what are we seeing in the moving images around us? The film, the TV, the documentation of people moving. What are we seeing in that can be used as intelligence in, you know, a case like you and your viewers, listeners might be looking at? So really, I started off in the world of how do you use pictures to influence and persuade? And now I'm a little bit more in how do you observe moving pictures to understand what really might be going on in somebody's mind?
How, this is a broad-based question, but how accurate are the unspoken words of people? Is it ever where somebody's just really off in their demeanor, the way that they speak, that doesn't necessarily align with how a larger percentage of the population is? Or is it really pretty much people are people and they're going to emote the same way no matter what their dispositions may be?
Well, look, when, you know, our mind and our body are really decided on one thing, both work very well together for the majority of human beings. Now, there can be some neural diversity out there, which may look quite different, but on the whole, for the majority of us, if we've got an idea, if we've got something that we're headed towards and we're fixed on that, the body will pretty much join in and get the job done. There'll be barriers along the way, physical barriers along the way that might stop us, but it should be pretty plain and simple what's going on. When it gets interesting is when somebody might be saying, deceptive in some way. And there you've got a number of different things going on in the brain. You've got neural load going on. You've got somebody trying to tell you a story. At the same time, that story might not be quite accurate. They might know that you understand some of the information, so they've got to get the accurate story and the inaccurate one to latch up in some kind of way. At the same time, they might know that there's a penalty if they're found out to be lying, so they've got to deal with the internal conflict and stress of that. So now you've got a heightened neural load, and the body might be doing stuff that the person didn't expect, or they're not prepared for it to do. That's often called, you know, a leakage. They're now leaking information that they didn't want to leak.
Interesting. How often is it that people are able to essentially, you know, fool someone like you? I mean, is it something that is learned, where one, if they, you know, they're telling a tale like an Alec Murdaugh or something like that? And I'm not saying he's good at this by any means. I'm just saying, in general, someone who has a crime behind them, they do not want to be found out. How often are they able to kind of, you know, get under the radar of everyone, not just verbally, but also on those nonverbal cues that you can pick up on?
Well, I think the factors of this, probably risk and relationship. Mm-hmm. Look, Tony, if you tell me a story and there's no risk to you being found out as lying, you'll probably be a pretty good liar. Mm-hmm. You know, it'll be fun for you. And if there's no risk for me as well that you are lying, like, how observant do I really need to be? So, you know, in tall tales that don't do anybody any harm, we pretty much accept much of what's going on. Now, let's put into this that there is a massive risk mm-hmm. to you being found out. Now your brain is having to deal with that risk. Now, having said that, you might be psychopathic. And I'm not saying you are, Tony, but let's just imagine that you are. Well, you now live in a world where you don't see so much risk. Mm. So you're maybe not going to leak so much risk, but there's still going to be a little bit of risk out there. And if we don't have a relationship where I really want you to be truthful, it would be a benefit to me if your tall tale was the truth, then I'm less likely to accept all the behaviors that are coming across. So look, to put it quite plainly, you can probably lie to me pretty well if you don't feel there's very much risk to it and there's a benefit to me to accepting your lie, because I'm going to see and be looking for, you know, less deceptive information. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it's interesting where if it is something that is less of a risk and there's not really repercussions on either side, we're not talking about a murder or something, maybe we're talking right. about, did you feed the cat or something, right. something like that, where one may like, oh shoot, I was supposed to, yeah, of course I did. Yeah, she's good. But I guess where it gets scary is when people who have committed horrible crimes, and you get into that area of antisocial personality, where it's a psychopath, where it's a sociopath, borderline, things of that nature, mm-hmm. where they're not assessing in their mind that there is a huge risk here, or that the impact of the statement or their reactions aren't what the rest of society sees it as. If they can have that mindset and view, you know, running over a child just as much as, you know, feeding the cat, then they're less likely to emote those signs that otherwise would be picked up on. Is that accurate?
Yes, possibly. But it also depends who's hearing the story and who's questioning them mm-hmm. on the story. Because again, it's about that relationship. Look, let's just say, you know, they've knocked over a child and they are, you know, telling a story about how that came about. You know, if they think they can get away with it, because who cares? Child, what do they care yeah. about a child? They're sociopathic, they're psychopathic. There's no risk in that. There's no moral compass around that. Mm-hmm. Well, if the questioner, the observer, the person investigating this and talking to them, they have a moral compass mm-hmm. around that, and they're going to stick with it, and they're going to question and question and question, eventually they will come undone. Okay. Essentially. So long as there's a point of evidence that the questioner can hold on to, or the questioner can pretend really well that there's a point of evidence. So let's say we have, you know, a psychopath there who's saying, kid ran out. I didn't steer into the kid. Mm-hmm. Kid ran out into the road. What if the questioner says, well, what would you say, you know, if we had evidence, videotape, that says that, you know, the child was crossing the road and you sped up and steered into them? Mm-hmm. How would you manage that? So now I'm suggesting that there might be something. What if I showed them the phone and showed them an element of that? I don't show them all of it. But I go. Well, here's the start of it. I mean, tell me how this ends in your mind. What if I'm as good as them as pretending, but I have a moral compass and they don't? Now we're in a bit more of a battle. But if you're questioning them and you just don't care,
okay.
I mean, it doesn't matter to you as well. Like, of course, they're going to get away with it. Mm-hmm. Or if the child being dead is to your advantage, then you're going to let it go, aren't you? So look, here's the thing with deception and lies, is somebody's liar is another person's hero. Somebody's hero is another person's liar. It's very important for us socially to be able to lie. Mm-hmm. You know, we get along by lying often. It's very important for us to tell the truth. It's knowing when to do it. And in one group, telling that same truth is not acceptable. And in another group, telling that truth is the most acceptable thing to do. So lying is one of our most important social skills, and as so is telling the truth. It just so happens in most societies, killing people unlawfully is unlawful killing.
Yeah.
It's a crime.
Yeah.
It's a crime.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But there are some situations where somebody has done a criminal act of killing, and certain one group will go, that sounds fair to me. I mean, seems okay. I'd have done the same.
Yeah.
That makes.
Want to listen ad free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free.
So you can binge on True Crime.
Until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now. Or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.